NFL draft, always a big night for Steelers fans and around the league, this time emanating from Detroit. They estimate there were 275,000 people gathered around where they had set a stage in downtown Detroit, blocks of the streets, four plus blocks, I think, just to house all those people. Did you see the shots of the...
I just did, just a few moments ago. They had a replay. Wouldn't that be great in downtown Pittsburgh or up on the North Shore?
Yeah, it's funny. I know Detroit's been trying to change their image since we were there in the Super Bowl 2005. You know, hordes of Steeler fans invaded Detroit, kind of took over the town, which was a lot of fun, by the way. But we talked yesterday about there were just miles, blocks and blocks of decimated down what would have been, you know, a vibrant city with the auto industry in its full peak back in the day. But they've kind of been able to reemerge here. And this is a nice piece to host the NFL draft, which is what Pittsburgh's trying to do with the Steelers and the city and the county.
Hopefully in a couple of years.
Yeah, so who is the Steelers' number one pick? Let's start. We got from KDK-TV, Richie Walsh explained who the Steelers picked number one last night.
For the second straight year, the Steelers take a tackle in the first round and got the guy they wanted again, drafting Washington offensive lineman Troy Fa'atano, who grew up a huge Steelers fan because of Troy Polamalu. Actually wore number 43 in his early days of playing football. He was here in Pittsburgh just a few weeks ago on his visit. Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin spent a lot of time with him the last few months and were very impressed. He helped Washington advance to the national championship game. Khan did field phone calls to move back in the first round, but they weren't moving anywhere when they knew Fa'atano was available.
You know, he was a player that we had rated really high up on the board, and he was one of the guys that we were hoping would be there and that we were targeting. And, you know, when he was, we were on the clock, we were at 19 and waiting for to see what the Rams picked, and you know, it was just we just felt really good about it. He's the player we wanted.
He was the highest rated guy on our board, and so that just speaks to our level of excitement about having an opportunity to get him.
And the Steelers will introduce their first-round pick, Troy Fa'atano, a little later today at 4 o'clock here at Steelers headquarters. With the Steelers on the south side, Rich Walsh, KDK-TV News.
And I would imagine he will make an appearance tomorrow, Steelers hosting their annual draft day party at Acrisure Stadium. So it's kind of a cool thing because fans, as we talked about, get a chance to get in the locker room, see the Super Bowl trophies, see alumni players, and the new picks, too.
He's described, Larry, as a tenacious drive blocker by one of the people that ESPN talked with last night. You're talking about an all Pac-12 first team member for two straight years, chosen the best offensive lineman by all his defensive lineman competitors.
How about that?
Last year. That's a nice compliment.
That's a real feather in your helmet.
And to tell you how good the team he was on was, not one but three Huskies were drafted in the first round last night. Washington did well.
Pretty good. So what is Doran Dickerson, Pitt All-American, NFL alum, West Allegheny grad, and part of the 93.7 The Fan morning team? Doran, what do you think? There it is.
Yeah, Larry, they got the guy that they wanted, Troy Fa'atano out of Washington, and he's a tackle. He's played left tackle majority of his career. He could play some guard, but I always said the need for tackle I didn't see was there. It was a want more than anything because they still had Dan Moore Jr., but they obviously are telling us that it was more of a need than I thought. And this is a guy that will probably be a right tackle from day one. You'll move Broderick Jones back to left to his natural side. And you got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields kind of protected up there for this season and the future. So a really good pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers, a very solid player.
It's not a sexy pick. You know, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the running backs, maybe big linebacker, but a tackle? But it's so important, right?
Oh, it's so important. I mean, you saw last year, obviously, with Kenny Pickett and, you know, some of the things and the sacks that he took. So you have a young guy that's hungry. He grew up a Steelers fan. He idolized Troy Polamalu. So that's always a great story to add to a young player. He's going to be excited to get to Pittsburgh. And he's a no-nonsense guy, too. So he's durable. You know, he did have a little injury that the Steelers were probably checking off their list. But they found out that, you know, he's ready to go and he's worthy of the 20th overall pick, and he's gonna be something. He's gonna be exciting to watch this season.
We've had a lot of luck with guys named Troy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always an amazing connection. I think fans will resonate with that alone right off the top. So if he loves the Steelers, if he idolized Troy, fans are going to take to him right away.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story. And if you just watch the video, and you know, his whole entire family's there, as all the guys are, but just that moment and then seeing your name flash across the screen and knowing that you're going to one of the biggest franchises in all sports, I mean, it has to be just a surreal, unbelievable feeling.
Fa'atanu.
Fa'atanu.
Doran, I appreciate it. Real quick, who's getting the second pick for the Steelers? Who do we get?
Ooh, I think they go center. I do. I think they go center, but I think that something else might be brewing.
All right.
I know that the San Francisco 49ers drafted a receiver in the first round, so that means that Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk is available for a trade. So I think the Steelers have something brewing today.
All-American, all-around great guy, Doran Dickerson from 93.7 The Fan. Thank you, my man. I appreciate you.
Got you, Larry. Thank you.
Speaking of Pittsburghies, down in the Strip District at the Heinz History Center, was just there last Sunday. Man, is that a fun place to visit, Paul?
Really, and has changed dramatically, too.
Oh, Andy Masick and its affiliation with the Smithsonian, so they have to be at a certain level, and they won Best Museum in America this year, again, which they're all very proud of.
I think one of the best things, though, about the Strip is that it's maintained its historic character, and some of the old standbys are still there today.
Well, you know what's cool is I'm going down there tonight, but that vibe with the old terminal, and behind that terminal to the river used to be just a junkyard, basically. But the infrastructure in the Strip District has changed so much. There are 1,000 apartments and townhouses behind that terminal, which is all new, and almost all of the buildings or the build-out has been completed. And then you walk one block over to Penn, and it's like a throwback, because there's no cookie-cutter businesses at all on Penn Avenue. So it's a cool vibe. It's going to be a nice night to go out. And if you're looking for something to do, they got a lot going on at the Convention Center. Speaking of Pittsburghies, Odyssey Pittsburgh, KDK, media partner with Yinzerfest. And I went down there yesterday. I saw the Mazeroskis perform. Musical group.
Are you kidding?
Oh, that's great. They wear pirate jerseys, Bill Mazeroski's old number 9, right?
Yeah.
It was great. And then they had the Smells Like the 90s, and then Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers with a tribute to Donny Iris. Could you get anything more Pittsburgh than that?
Love it.
Yeah, next hour we'll give you a rundown. You know who's performing tonight? The Jaggers.
Hey. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Oh, my God. The Jaggers. Tomorrow night, and again, this is it.
Are we talking Yinzerfest. I'm a Girl Watcher?
No, the rapper.
Oh, the rapper. There we go, the rapper. Okay.
Rap. They call him the rapper.
There we go. Now I know.
That's pretty funny. And I got to tell Kathy, they're going to have Sunday, or Saturday is Bon Journey.
The cover band, yeah.
Yeah, she loves John Bon Jovi, and she'll put up with Journey. I like Journey, and put up with John Bon Jovi.
I don't know why I confused the Jaggers with the Occasions, but there you have it.
Occasions.
I remember that now.
Total Recall, Paul. By the way, Needs Hotel Band, a Yinzer rock and roll tribute, and they got this whole lineup, the Granati Brothers, Kenny Blake, Billy Price, Jimmy Crenn, believe it or not, is going to sing. So we'll give you the rundown of Yinzer Fest. Check it out at pghyinzer.net. That is at the David Lawrence Convention Center through the weekend. Then when you got Tim McGraw, who's going to be performing tomorrow night at PPG Paints, we're going to have a preview of that show coming up next from one of the new hosts of our country station, Y108. So you have Cale Berger and Amanda Gorecki, right? I got an idea for a name for them, because you got to have a nickname for a show, right?
Right.
Cousin Cale, who's really my nephew, and let's see, Aunt Amanda.
Okay.
Does that sound like a good country show?
It works for me.
Cousin Cale and Aunt Amanda. We'll see what Amanda thinks about that.
Yeah.
Coming up next on the Big K Morning Show.
You said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu.
Boy, that's a powerful song. Tim McGraw is coming to PPG Paints Arena tomorrow night. And Paul, we have the privilege of having with us from our brother-sister station, Y108, the station where I started my professional career, I'll have you know, is part of the new team. So it's Cale Berger and Amanda Gorecki, and Amanda is here. And yes. I have a, first up, right out of the shoot, I got a new name for your show.
Oh my gosh, I would love to hear
Let's
it.
Let's do the morning show.
Okay.
Cousin Cale and Aunt Amanda.
Why?
I don't know.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It came to me.
Wow.
Yesterday.
Thank you so much. I'm going to take that to the top and I'll let you know how it goes.
I know how that's going to go.
Larry, I didn't know that you started at Y108.
I did. My first professional radio gig out of college was at Y108.
Oh my gosh.
And what is now the Renaissance Hotel used to be the Fulton Building.
Okay.
And on the 11th floor, overlooking what is now this fabulous North Shore.
Right.
That was the view from our studio. And we saw Three River Stadium,
which
was a cement donut in the middle of this giant field of asphalt.
Right.
But at PPG Paints Arena, Tim McGraw, who's been around a long time, he's one of country music's biggest stars.
Yeah, he's been around forever. We actually were going through it this past week. He had his first big album in 1994, and then he had six consecutive years of number one album. So he's just busted them out, Larry.
How about this? 47 number one country hits.
I feel like people are lucky if they have one, let alone 47.
47. And
that's
not
wild.
Only that, he's married to a beautiful woman.
Yes.
Who's also a great
Obviously,
singer.
Obviously, very beautiful. Faith Hill. I like to think that she'll be there just bopping around backstage, maybe come out, but I don't know. We'll see.
Faith Hill, by the way, one of her favorite songs that I have is when she did the, you know, Monday Night Football before Carrie Underwood stole it.
One of your favorite Faith Hill songs is just the Monday Night Football theme song.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
That's pretty good. Well, he's coming. Yeah, he's coming tomorrow with Carly Pearce, who is very great and up and coming in the country music scene. I feel like actually we've heard a lot from our fans and listeners that they are coming for Carly Pearce just as much as they're coming for Tim McGraw. So that's an exciting, and there's a connection here because she's currently dating, it's either her bassist or guitarist, who is BC Taylor, who is BC Taylor, BE Taylor's son.
Oh, wow.
He is such a talent, and BE Taylor was such a wonderful performer in his son. He passed away of a brain tumor, so shockingly and sad. He used to do this wonderful Christmas show every year down at Heights Hall. And BC, his son, an incredible talent. Have you ever been to a Tim McGraw show, Paul?
No, I have not, but I have interviewed him before when
You've
I was in Jacksonville.
Him?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Was he a nice guy? Please tell me yes.
You know, I can say this about all the country artists that I've met in my career. They're all great. They love us, and we love them back.
Yeah, when I was at Y108, Amanda.
Yeah, I know.
It was around the holidays. The Steelers were playing Houston in a playoff game at Three Rivers.
Oh, look at that.
And Charlie Daniels came because he was a Steelers fan to sing the national anthem, and then he had a show that night at the arena. Well, he came over to do an interview, and I wasn't doing the interview. I was just opening the door, and he came with his big dude, all dressed in black hat. He looked like an outlaw.
Oh, my gosh.
And he goes, Charlie Daniels looks at me walking out, and he goes, I'll see you at the show tonight. And I said, I don't have tickets. And he goes, you do now. And the guy opened up his – he was carrying a little attaché case, opened up and gave me two backstage passes.
Oh, it's kind of scary, honestly.
Yeah.
Wild.
Could have gone either
way.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I would have been a little nervous for a second.
My point is, they were so gracious.
They were
you
nice.
Know, and it was cool. So I hear a lot of good things about Tim McGraw. And by the way, he's a pretty good actor.
I know. I get frustrated when celebrities or something can do more than one thing. It's like, I can only do a couple things mediocrely. So when someone can be a great singer, a great actor, a great dancer, I'm like, can you just chill out and pick one, you know?
You're making us sick with this
yeah,
talent.
Yeah, too much talent going on.
You're talking to somebody
but,
who...
Yeah, and then I said people have to choose, though, Larry, because there's also Luke Combs happening tomorrow as well at Penn State. So some people might make the drive up there.
Yeah, have you ever seen Luke Combs?
No, but I know that's a sensation.
They love that guy.
Oh, people obsess over Luke Combs.
So is this same love for Kenny Chesney? Because he kind of...
It's getting there.
Because now that Jimmy Buffett's gone, he's definitely become... You know,
he is
the
new.
He's captured that...
Yes.
Let's party in the summer on the river, the whole thing at Acrisure. That's coming up, what, June 1?
June 1st. Yeah, I know. It'll be here before I know it. I'm just ready for the summer, so I feel like I'm ready for Kenny anytime to come. But yeah, Luke Combs is kind of getting in that area. He's doing the stadiums, which is the biggest part. You know, I feel like him, Morgan Wallen. I feel like there's a lot of people selling out stadiums right now. And Beaver, that's like the largest there is almost, you know what?
Beaver Stadium.
Second largest.
So they have 106,000 for football games.
Yeah,
there.
I think they said about 80,000 for the concert.
Are you serious?
Which is insane, right?
And the weather's going to cooperate.
Yes, I think. I hope for them.
Maybe. 82 on Sunday, by the way. So Amanda Gorecki, Cale Berger, Y108.
Yes.
The new morning team, and Amanda's been one of our account execs for a long time. How long have you been with us?
Almost 7.5 years. So in different various roles, promotions, then sales, bopping in and out.
Oh, speaking of people that do a lot of different things.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. My talent for sales is just unmatched. You're right.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Cousin Cale and yeah. Amanda. Why wanna wait? Coming up right after the news with Paul Rasmussen, Harvey Weinstein. Yesterday, the story broke that his conviction had been overturned, and it caused a lot of confusion. And Paul, I think a lot of people wondered, well, does that mean he gets out of jail right away?
No, he'll remain in prison. He was convicted in another case out in Los Angeles of another rape. He was serving time in New York were the convictions there. And this was a technicality that overturned the conviction. The trial judge unfairly allowed testimony based on allegations that were not part of the case. And that's a no-no. And the opinion that was written against him by the New York Supreme Court, they spanked that judge. They didn't care for what he did. The high court justices didn't.
So we'll sort through the details on that. And the other big story nationally, of course, and we'll also get into the protests, some of which are taking place, what's going on in Gaza and pro-Palestinian, and also the clashes between Jewish students and the students who are protesting against them. And there's been a lot of it got pretty ugly at USC, UCLA, Columbia. But so far here in Pittsburgh, peaceful.
And they say that they're going through Friday. I don't know. Will they stop and pack up their tents today and go back to their routine or not?
Well, here's...
I mean, it's the end of classes,
yeah,
right?
School. And, for Pitt, this is graduation week. So, I mean, they're all leaving. So I don't know how long an impact. We'll talk to reporter Megan Swift from the Tribune Review about that. And in the next half hour, also... There's a big event at JM Steel Manufacturing in Leedsdale that we're going to tell you about because, you know, you hear so much of the energy crisis and what's going on in this state. I think this will be good news for a lot of people, and I will share that with you because this is a whole group, including the Lieutenant Governor, Chris DeLuzio, a whole group of people, Valerie Gatos, coming together today to make this announcement. So we will do that. And of course, the trial of former President Donald Trump in Manhattan with the latest CBS's Jared Hill.
This Supreme Court case is so much bigger than former President Donald Trump. The justices repeatedly emphasized that whatever they decide on immunity for him will impact any other president from here on out. Outside a Manhattan courthouse, former President Donald Trump again repeated his claim that all presidents should be free from criminal prosecution for official acts taken while in office.
A president has to have immunity. You don't have a president, or at most you can say it would be a ceremonial president.
200 miles away in D.C., justices on the U.S. Supreme Court seem poised to reject Trump's claims of absolute immunity.
If there's no threat of criminal prosecution, what prevents the president from just doing whatever he wants?
Trump is the first former U.S. president to face criminal charges. Yesterday's historic high court arguments stem from special counsel Jack Smith's case, charging Trump with plotting to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election.
Whatever we decide is going to apply to all future presidents.
The justices suggested that presidents should have some level of protection from criminal prosecution for official acts, though with that came more questions.
How exactly would we determine what an official act is?
The Supreme Court is expected to issue its ruling by early summer. Depending on that ruling and whether the court says presidents have some immunity but not full immunity, this could end up getting sent back to a lower court, which likely would delay the election interference trial until after this November.
CBS's Jared Hill.
Okay, so that report covered some things that the Wall Street Journal did not, or the other way around. But the Supreme Court hearing a last-ditch appeal from Donald Trump appeared open Thursday to granting some level of immunity to protect former presidents from being prosecuted for alleged crimes committed while in office. And that was the article I read this morning, which I thought was laid it out pretty well. They have to walk a very narrow line here.
Right.
If there's limited immunity, how do you define what
that limit is?
Right. It's tough.
So is it, when you're president, you are immune to frivolous civil lawsuits, or what happens if it's deemed to be a criminal event like they're alleging it for the January 6th issues?
Well, I hope the high court works it out. I hope that it doesn't get kicked back down to a lower court. I'd like to see it, you know, just as a citizen, a clear definition of what's going on. The one thing we don't want to have happen is for it this thing to turn into a political weapon that people can use against each other, like impeachment has been used against each party back and forth for quite a long time now.
I think that's part of what they're weighing. So I have a feeling they're going to kick it back to the lower court first. You do it. You talk about it. Like a hot potato.
Right.
A very hot potato.